Welcome to Hers,
His,
and Ours,
part of the Scheiss Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to a Hers, His, and Ours special event as we take on the Netflix reality competition show Battle Camp one episode at a time.
Welcome to Battle Camp.
Hello. Surprise.
Surprise. It's Friday night.
It is. Ribeye tacos in the belly.
I'm so full and sleepy now.
Well, we got some TV to watch, but Speaking of TV, we're going to try something that we wanted to try for this show, but we couldn't quite figure it out because so many of these shows are so long in the tooth that it's difficult to just jump in. But in this case, it was a show that I was interested in.
It's a surprisingly, but also not.
Competition, physical competition show, which I like, and...
of Netflix reality TV stars.
That's right. It's Battle Camp.
So Battle Camp or Boot Camp?
Battle Camp.
Battle Camp. Okay.
Yeah. So the name had me hooked, and I was like, oh, this is going to be like Physical 100, but with reality stars from the Netflix universe. It's... not quite that intense yet, but it is a combination of physical challenges like you would see in Fear Factor, Physical 100, was it Navy SEALs?
Special Forces.
Special Forces. And
Big Brother.
Big Brother. And then also the kind of psychological positioning and warfare that you would see in games like
Big Brother.
Big Brother, Survivor. The Mole, which is one of the other Netflix shows. So I was curious because of just the mental and physical aspects of the show. I barely know any of the reality stars. I think I know only Trey and Lorenzo and Irina. Because Irina was on Love is Blind, one of the seasons I watched. Trey was on Squid Game, and so was Lorenzo.
Yeah.
So those are the three of the 12 people that I know who they are. Aside from that, I don't really care who any of these people are. I'm not like that. I'm not the Netflix reality demo, which I think this show is trying to bridge the gap into a little bit of that territory to get people like me to watch the other shows. Well, I mean, I'm curious in The Mole now, but for the most part, we watched Squid Game, the real one. Or I should say the
challenge,
the live action, real life adaptation of Squid Game. No one dies. But yeah, so I was interested. I might watch a couple of the other shows, but I'm not going to go crazy on them. The Mole's the only one that seems interesting to me. So
yeah, they all have a lot of seasons. I kind of recognized a couple of them from Perfect Match, but I also
Perfect Match. Didn't watch it.
Perfect Match is an overlap of some of the other shows as well.
What's that other one? It's like Too Hot to Handle or something
like
that?
Yeah, Too Hot to Handle. It's all just like...
Cheer is the one that Gabby is from, but I've never heard of Cheer.
Yeah, that's about cheerleaders.
Really?
Yeah. It's just like, they're just all flaunting beautiful, young, hot people in barely clothes, like... or bathing suits. I don't think it actually matters if we know who they are from the other shows. I understand what they're doing to try and get, the crossover. Like, you said now you're interested in The Mole. And because I've watched Perfect Match, I haven't watched every season, but Perfect Match kind of introduces you to them. From other shows, I have been interested, but there's a lot of seasons in these other shows, and it's just such a time commitment. And, I like my nonsense, trashy reality TV to a certain point, but it's hard to watch them all at the same time, kind of like back to back, so I try and space them out. The other one that's on Netflix, I'm surprised... they didn't pull anyone from, I don't think, is Temptation Island. Is there anyone from Temptation Island? I don't think
I didn't see it I don't remember it being listed as one of the shows that they pulled from, but they pulled from like...
Or The Ultimatum, right?
No. The OC Real Estate or like Selling the OC is the one that Geo is from. I'm like, that doesn't sound like Netflix stuff. That's like Netflix dipping their toe in the HGTV waters.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm interested, but yeah, I don't feel like I'm missing anything without watching the other shows because, again, even the ones we know, I'm not like... rooting for anyone, and I kind
oh,
of
I am.
Well, you know what I mean, like I'm not biased of who I'm rooting for because of the show they were on.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know what
because
I mean?
I've only seen the two shows, I am sort of biased, but also it's because of the nature of the other show that informed that bias a little bit, so we'll see how it shakes out. But it's three teams of four. And they all show up on a bus, and it's like a sleepaway
camp.
Yeah, except for it's battle camp. And then they show up, and there's a big physical challenge in the lake. There's swimming, there's pulling, there's math, and then there's kayaking, and then a swimming sprint to finish it out. And so as the show is beginning, we're seeing the inside of the bus. We're getting introduced to some of the characters. We're seeing like how their energy works together. And then after that first challenge, you sort of know right away the dynamics of the team and the people. And I kind of like that because it didn't give you as the viewer a bunch of time to like settle in with them overnight and see them socialize and see the teams interact. It was as soon as you're at the camp, we're going into the challenge, so it's feet to the fire, and you learn right away, like, kind of who's a diva, who's a D-bag, who wants to win, who's a good teammate, and so I already know, like, guaranteed who I don't want to win the show, because...
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Number one. Like,
number one.
He only has his name on the wheel once, and I still want him to go home and get picked by some crazy offset of chance.
So that's the other element that I found interesting about the show, because it's not just competing in physical challenges and getting eliminated. Like,
or psychological, really.
Yeah. So like in Physical 100, basically you're in a physical challenge. If you lose, you're gone. And that's it. It's all about the physicality.
There's no voting in Physical 100 at all?
Nope.
How do the teams get made?
They're
random?
They end up getting picked based on placement sometimes. So it's like they'll do a 5K run. And then the top four times will become team captains, or maybe the bottom four times become team captains, and then they draft the teams.
Okay.
And then sometimes the teams are left to couple up by themselves, but if you're, like, small or if you're dainty, a lot of the teams are like, no, we want a bunch of muscle, so we're not involving you. And so you just kind of get left out, and then the small team forms, because that's just whoever's left. So there's a lot of interesting psychological stuff that way on the show. But I'm interested to see when that expands to Physical 100 Asia, because it's going to include more than just Korea. So it's going to be fun. I'm excited for that.
When is that supposed to start? Do you
I
know?
Don't know. I love Physical 100, though.
I know you do.
It's amazing. it's probably the most slept on like reality. It's the closest thing maybe to like American Gladiators that we've had since that aired. So I'm big on it.
What's the other one? Not American Gladiators, but there's another one that's...
There's American Ninja Warrior.
Ninja Warriors.
Yeah, that one's fun. It got a little, like, redundant.
Yeah.
Because it was just, like, time trials against the same thing over and over. So it's like, I think from what I saw, I used to watch it when I was on reruns, but I feel like that show almost threw away the commentary like it was a joke. Like, there was some commentary from the booth, but one of the guys was a comedian. And so a lot of the commentary about the competitors almost felt like it was forced or phony, where I think a show like that would have benefited from more of the focus on the individuals, because a lot of them have interesting stories to start with, but they're more focused on the time trials and the event itself rather than the kind of personal stuff. So a show that is like this, that allows the personal stuff to get fleshed out a little bit more with the hidden cameras, and then there's a mix of the physical events, and then some of the... So, sorry, before I get too distracted, you said the wheel, which is what I wanted to come back in on. So it's not just physical, it's not just, like, psychological, there's some luck involved, because I love the wheel too. I use it for many things, mm-hmm. including the show, film club, all that. But based on how you finish, your name goes onto a randomizer. And then there's punishments to be allotted by the winning team to the losing team. And then the losers of the punishment also get additional bingo balls in the cage, or on the wheel in this case. And then there's also a round of voting from everybody that's in the cast to vote on who goes home.
To get the wheel filled up.
Yes. So you could theoretically have more bingo balls in the cage than somebody else. And that's where like the psychological warfare component comes in, because you obviously want to play the odds. Like, people are picking sides right away. So I really enjoy, because it's like whoever gets eliminated is going to be random. And so, you know, whatever. But it's about deck building, and like card games that are deck building games are like that. You want to build your deck so that you have the best total odds of winning. And so in this case, like, you're building a reverse deck where the person who you fear the most or want gone the most is the person whose name is on the wheel. And so we get through the first challenge. What are they? The Eagles, the red team? There's the Eagles, the Wolves, and the Bears, I think. The Bears are blue, the Wolves are yellow, the Eagles are red.
I thought there were four teams.
No, there's only three teams of four.
Oh, three of four. Okay.
Yeah. So the red team is it's Tony, it's Lexi, it's Lorenzo, and who else is on their team? Is it Georgia?
I haven't learned all their names yet.
Yeah, I was just writing it down, but I know Trey is on the Wolves, so he's yellow. And then Avery is blue. She's on the Bears. Georgia, I don't remember. Gabby is yellow. Gio is blue. Lewis is yellow. Shubham is blue. Irina is yellow, which means Georgia is the other red and Corey's the other blue. So that first event, you're thrown feet to the fire. You learn how the teams work. You learn how they observe the obstacles. You learn their attention to detail. You learn
how they handle pressure.
How they handle pressure, but also how they strategize. Because the Wolves, they put Irina in the sprint in the beginning. They knew she was a weak swimmer, and so they told themselves, like, you're the weakest link physically. We want you to be the front end, and then we'll make it up in the other sections. Whereas I think you saw some of the other teams try to front load, where they had their sprinter in the beginning and the sprinter at the end. I think the Eagles, honestly, they were going to win. They did a good job, but they made a tactical mistake in not checking because they were trying to be fast rather than trying to be correct. So that's Tony's the big guy. He's like a weightlifter. He comes across as a D-bag. I don't know him. He seems like a huge douche, but
I think he's from Too Hot to Handle too, right?
No, he's the mole.
Oh, he's from the mole.
Yeah.
So yeah, that makes sense then.
So they put him in like the weighted event, where it's like the first leg of that competition is a swim to a balance bridge on water. And then across the balance bridge, you hand off the flag to the weight section. And there's a bunch of kettlebells at the bottom of the lake attached to ropes. And you have to pull up the kettlebell to find your flag. And so Tony did that. So it's like he's all arm strength. And Yellow put Gabby, who is their like 5 foot nothing cheerleader. But she has great core strength and she used her whole body and she made up ground in that area. Then Trey was on the math problem and he's like, ooh, I love math. He's like, hey, I'm a big nerd, but I'm here for the challenge kind of thing. He does the math problem. Red gets to choose the order of difficulty for the math problem and still doesn't come out in first out of that, I think. And then somewhere between Lexi and Lorenzo, they fumble the flags. They don't count them. There's one on the boat that falls. They don't see it. So they're screwed. They're out sprinting and they don't have the last flag. They're done. So yellow is like very patient. They make sure they communicate and they end up winning because they just didn't make a mistake. And it's not so much that there was a mistake made. It's how it was handled after that. Like Tony loses his shit. He's blaming Lexi when he's not like communicating that there's any blame anywhere else or that it's a simple mistake. And even Lorenzo, who he talks to in private about it, he's like, it's a simple mistake. It could have happened to any of us. And Tony's like, well, it didn't happen to any of us. It happened to her. And Lorenzo's like, well, you got a point. So they basically all turn on their teammate immediately, which to me is never a good sign. It's like, it's the first challenge, you know, you got to big up your teammates there. You always got to be a good teammate because, you know, it's a team-based activity. And then, you know, Lorenzo doesn't want to take the blame for it. And he's happy to not take the blame for it because it's easier to align against Lexi moving forward. And so Tony plants the seed. He starts gossiping. They go ahead and start to plant Lexi's name in people's ear. Then the punishment comes. And so the Wolves, who were the winners, chose to make a random group of people compete in the punishment. I love the way that they dissected this in the war room, because they said that, you know, we could just dogpile on the red team, right? They just lost. We could pick on them and make them have to eliminate somebody right away, but we don't want to do that. So they strategically picked out people based on the likelihood of the least likelihood of them getting voted onto the wheel. So they pick Gio. They're like, nobody's going to vote for him. He's unassuming. He's kind of middle of the pack. No one's going to pick him as like the physical threat of the group. And he's polite. And so he's like, he's just not going to get voted for. So we want to make sure that like everybody's on alert. Then they pick Lexi because she's the one that fumbled. And it was kind of like low hanging fruit. You punish the losing team. And then Irina, she's like, we should pick Avery. And I was like, where did that come from, right? Because at that point in the show, Avery hadn't shown anything really as a threat. Her team came in last place. There hadn't even been time to strategize in terms of being cunning. We saw a little aside with her and the producers and the camera crew where she's like, yeah, you know, I played softball and soccer and basketball. Like, I'm a well-rounded athlete, but I don't want people to know that I'm an athlete because it's better for them to think I'm weak. So she's playing the game already. But Irina, like, knew that before they even had enough interaction to connect the dots.
How do you think she knew that, though?
I was telling you when we were watching the show, I was like, she watched Avery's season of The Mole. Mm. So she knows that she's a threat. And because Irina just maybe is the type who watches the other Netflix reality stuff, so she's dialed in, but she locked in on her. And she's like, no, we have to go after Avery. And they talked it out, and then even Trey's reasoning for picking Avery was to punish her and like put her on the wheel, or actually to vote for her to put her on the wheel, was that she's like a physical and mental threat. And so, and she's like affable, so no one's going to like vote for her on personality. And somehow like Irina just knew. And so I think the only way she could have known is had she watched The Mole.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, because we were talking about, like, do you think they all of them watched all of the shows and all of the seasons? Because if they don't know who the cast is before they show up, how would they know which seasons to watch in particular?
Yeah, so that's why I think Irina just happened to, like, watch the Netflix reality shows.
And yeah, maybe she started watching it, like, after she was on Love is Blind or something, and it was recent season.
She might have watched it before, because, I mean, maybe that's why she tried to get on Love is Blind kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, she was one of my least favorites on Love is Blind.
Yeah, but she's like, dialed in to what's going on, yeah. So she's actually a good teammate to have, even if she's maybe physically their weakest link. She locked in, and she was like, no, Avery's a threat, I'm telling you. And so her whole strategy for the punishments was very well dialed in and very smart in that, like, they didn't dogpile, so they don't become the instant enemy. They spread out the punishment, and then they picked people that, like, were strategic decisions. And lo and behold, between putting her on the radar with that, she wins the wall sit. Then between winning that competition and Tony putting the sprinklings of deceit in her ear, she's like, well, I guess I have to do this. And then it was just, I think the whole red team voted for Lexi, honestly. You know, he probably convinced Lorenzo to get rid of her because it would make their team stronger. I wouldn't be surprised if they convinced Georgia to vote for her too. But then the whole yellow team voted for Avery because they're like, she's a threat. Lexi voted for Avery, and then a couple other people from the blue team did because they recognize she's a threat too. And so she might have been one of the favorites to win the whole thing, and she might be gone by the end, well, by the start of episode two, because they fucking cliffhangered us like bastards.
Yeah, it's a Netflix thing now these days.
It
sucks. Well,
it's
been a while. They started it on Love is Blind. Maybe the other shows too, but I've only watched Love is Blind the most. So maybe the other shows do it, but I don't know.
Well, my guess is that the way it's structured is that they cliffhanger us, and then the first 15 to 20 minutes of the next episode is all like the shock, her saying goodbye, her having post interviews, people having post interviews. So the whole first 20 minutes is dedicated to the end of episode one, but then you're 20 minutes in and you're not really going to press pause and stop watching at that point. So stubbornly, I said, no, Netflix, go fuck yourselves. I am not falling victim to your trap, but also I wanted to do this show. And in order to test the structure properly, we can't go faster than an episode at a time.
Yeah.
So
we're going to leave you with a cliffhanger as well, because we don't know who goes home.
We don't. So if you're watching Battle Camp and you're on episode one, then maybe wait for us. But
you mean two?
No, if you're on episode one, don't watch episode two until you've listened to this.
Oh,
I don't know. Do what you want to do, but just like, yeah, this is going to be a fun little side project. I think, you know, we can record it in between other big episodes. But okay, so I don't think you know the cast, and I don't know the cast well enough to do an entire rankings.
No,
but right now, give me the person you want to win the show and the person that you want to lose the show. Like someone you want to go home 100% and someone who you're actually cheering for.
Well, going home 100% is easy. It's Tony.
Yeah.
He's got to go.
Can't wait till he goes home. If he wins, I'm going to be so
furious. I'm
going to
be pissed too. I don't really have a favorite yet of who I want to win. I feel like I need to watch a couple more episodes. Yeah, I don't really have a favorite yet that I can think of. But I for sure want Tony to go home.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite?
We are united in wanting Tony to go home. I would prefer him to go home over Lexi or Avery. Because
I agree.
It's like Lexi made an honest mistake. Odds are she's not going to make it that far in the competition anyway. So I don't mind her staying. Where I feel like the longer Tony stays, the more of an actual threat he becomes because of the physical nature of the challenges.
Yeah, and this is the part of the show that I feel like is very Big Brother-ish. Mm. Which I love, because I was a diehard Big Brother fan for many years. I don't still watch it, but I'm interested. But this is the strategy component of like playing the long game and the alliances and how you position yourself with competitions. The only thing that's really different is the random wheel selection component, but everything else, this is what I love about Big Brother.
Well, that's cool. I mean, yeah, I think when I finally watched a couple episodes of Big Brother, I saw one where they were chasing a giant laser dressed up as mice. And I was like, this is not what I have in mind when it comes to physical competition. And I tapped out. So
no, I would say if you're interested and we can find it somewhere, there's a couple seasons that are like really, really good that are earlier on that you would probably enjoy. And especially the psychological components. And they also did an early on All-Stars one where it was all the winners for the first handful of seasons, which was really good.
Yeah, that sounds probably fun. It reminds, because, you know, like Naked and Afraid, right?
Yeah.
I like that show because it's challenging mentally and physically. And actually, maybe the mental aspect of it is maybe more interesting to me than the physical aspect. It's like, yeah, you're naked, you're getting eaten alive by bugs, you got to survive kind of thing. But it's the breaking point psychologically that's interesting. So I'm curious, they're not going to reach that here, but we do see like tarantula pizza in the preview. And I'm like, if it was a live tarantula, I'd be freaking out. But
No.
You know, it's a cooked tarantula.
I would still be freaking out. I would not eat it.
You don't have to eat it at least, but we'll see who is able to eat it and who's not. So I will say that I think I'm okay with basically everybody on the yellow team winning, except for Irina. And that's just because I didn't like where I left off with her in Love is Blind.
Yeah.
Trey is probably the guy I want to win the show. Gabby I'd be fine with because she's small, but she's a good athlete and she's super competitive. So similar to Avery, where they're both going to be in the mix. And Lewis? Lewis is fine. I don't even know what he's from or what he does, but they all seem to be a good team for the most part. And so basically anybody on that team, I don't want Lorenzo to win because I remember him being a douche on Squid Game as well.
Oh, for sure.
So so maybe he's not that big of a D-bag, but I mean, in comparison to Tony, he seems less offensive.
Yeah, that's
but
fair.
I already have at least a couple of people on red who I don't want to win. I would want Lexi to win out of spite for the others.
Same.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. We're going to watch episode 2 tonight and we'll reconvene and we'll figure out what this show is going to look like. But I guess, who do you think the wheel is going to land on to start episode 2?
I don't know. I'm a little bummed because I think it's going to be Avery. Mm. But I'm still hoping by some weird chance it's Tony because his name's only on the wheel once. But I don't know. The way that Netflix teases things, I feel like it's probably going to be Avery, unfortunately. Which, I mean, I understand she is probably one of the bigger threats, but I kind of wanted to see her compete a little bit longer.
I think if the producers have any pull like they do on the other Netflix shows in terms of like their thumb on the scale, they will stop the wheel when it lands on Lexi, or they'll let it bump one extra further when it's on Avery. I think she'll stay and Lexi will go.
Interesting. How would the producers have control over that?
I don't know. If it's a remote control wheel, you just like hit the brakes.
I mean, he physically spun it, though.
Yeah, but we don't see behind the wheel.
True. You're a conspiracy theorist.
I mean, the whole thing about, like, you know, when you play roulette, right? The wheel spins and then there's a button that turns off the motor and then the ball lands where it does. But, like, you don't know what other mechanisms are under there.
Mm.
So, similar.
Okay.
It's not a conspiracy. It's just we've seen Netflix, like I said, put their thumb on the scale and kind of make things happen that they want to happen.
Fair.
So I would not be surprised. And I think, yeah, selfishly, I think Avery is a good contestant, but she's going to be on the wheel a lot after this. Because if she was on 7 times.
For sure. Unless they win, which saves them from being on the wheel.
Yeah. But I think her team is maybe the least prepared. I feel like all the other teams, well, both of the other teams have like a good, like, A1 athlete. So it's Lewis. Gio. Well, Gio, I think, is not on the same level as Lewis and Tony. So it's like the more you get into the physical stuff, I feel like the blue team came in last place in the first competition for a reason, right? Well, they came in second technically, but time wise, they finished last, and red just fumbled. So we'll see. Cool. Well, thanks for listening. Hope you check out Battle Camp and
watch with us.
Yeah. Send us an email at whatever that email address is. It's in the show notes. It's at the end of the show. I don't remember it. I think it's hershersours@gmail.com.
Hershersours,
H-O-U-R-S, at thesheist.com. See, not even a Gmail.
The Sheist Pod?
No, thesheist.com.
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 You probably should shorten that to make it a little easier to remember.
Triple H. I mean, I could do that. We'll see. But I don't want people thinking we're associated with Triple H the wrestler.
Yeah, no. Okay, fair. Anyways.
Time to play the game. Only a few people are going to get that joke, but take care. We'll see you on the next one.
Thanks for listening to Hers, His, and Ours. We'd love for you to continue on this journey with us. The easiest way to do that is to like and subscribe to the show on the podcast platform of your choice. Follow our socials at Hers, His, Ours, spelled like time, on Instagram and X. To keep tabs on this show and others in the Sheist Podcast Network, follow @ ShistPodNet on Instagram, Blue Sky, and X.